Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can't stop it, block it, when I drop it. Anytime I go rhyme for rhyme on a topic, they ain't even fit to step in Shaq's arena. I look inside your mind and I see your shook demeanor. In your eyes, why are you surprised? No matter how you try, not fly as Eloquaz. The new edition, is this the end of your last night? In the daytime, you couldn't see me with a flashlight. I crash flights on sights of my enemy. I'm coming through and then I bomb your whole vicinity. Why that acting fake and chat, you're not a friend to me. I peeped your card, you're not as hard as you pretend to be. Who wanna spark it with the chocolate? Macadamium, head clean to the cranium. You know the name, Shaq aim to maintain. Money on the brain, can't stop the rain.
Salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Three Man Weave. I am Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by the Commissioner PC Tunney and Mr. Ray Cash. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many of you all were familiar with this, but Amber, my significant other, and myself, we recently had came down with COVID. And we're good now. Everything's good. We've recovered. We're doing okay. But the lady that we believe we caught it from, which is Amber's mother's mother-in-law, and I know that sounds very convoluted, but I don't really know how else to say it. But literally right before we got on these airwaves to record this show, we found out that she actually transitioned and passed away due to complications from COVID. And I mean, you know, I've said it quite a bit, and I do believe that some of the hoopla and everything and the hysteria that has come from this whole COVID situation, I think that the media is hyping it up a little bit, but at the same point in time, there are people out here that are passing away from this thing. And I understand the mask thing. It's very uncomfortable and it's an inconvenience to our way of life, but at the same point in time, the mask isn't for you. The mask is for other people, and we don't know how people are going to react when they get this. You don't know if you got it, if you don't have it. All I'm saying is just be a goddamn decent human being and wear the fucking mask, because you don't know whose life you're saving. You might be saving somebody's mother, somebody's child, somebody's grandmother, somebody's aunt, somebody's dad. Like, you just literally don't know. Just put on the goddamn mask, okay? Can we do that? And just very quickly, now, I don't think either of my brothers would object to this, but we're going to dedicate today's three-man weave to the memory of that woman. And if you all don't mind, if we could just have a brief moment of silence to the loving memory of Geraldine White. Rest in power, Geraldine. You were always a beautiful woman, and you were always good to me, and you didn't have to die, and that's unfortunate, but rest in power. Rest in power. All right, moving right along here, ladies and gentlemen. Three Man Weave is brought to you by the good folks at ChairShot Radio Network, in conjunction with
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. And use your heads, ladies and gentlemen, and think about it. The holidays are upon us. You have a wrestling fan in your life. You're thinking about, well, what am I going to get Cousin Cletus? What am I going to get Uncle Fester? What am I going to get Cousin Juniors and Junebug for Christmas? I don't know. You know what? I do. Why don't you get them something from their favorite website with news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt. We've got something for everybody. We got G's Did the Job, Reason for the Season, Save Tag Team Wrestling, the defunct campaign of Platinum Blast 2020. 2024 is right around the corner. Don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. But either way, if you enjoy the content we provide day in and day out, make sure we can keep providing that content day in and day out by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, and please keep in mind TheChairShot.com. We're not just a website, folks. We're also a movement. Gentlemen, I've already denounced you. How's everybody feeling this afternoon? On the precipice, if you will, of Thanksgiving.
If you will.
Listen, Ray is going to come on here and tell you a sad story about how his team lost. But if you think about it, I had horrible losses on Saturday and Sunday. So get over it. We're talking about it. All right?
Well, if I may, first and foremost, rest in peace to Miss Geraldine. That was a very touching opening.
Yeah, my condolences.
Secondly, you know, Cletus and Fester and Junebug.
Cletus the football robot?
Am I showing my age? Just a little bit.
And you're still showing your age and, like, the region of the country you're from. Thirdly and finally, I think, as his brothers in the show, out of respect for Miss Geraldine, we should skip the football talk. Like, she wouldn't want us to talk about it.
No. I got this. Ray, first of all, I already read you your schedule before we started this show, okay? My Badgers were favored by more than a touchdown and lost by 10 points because they turned the ball over 5 times. My Packers were up 14 in the first half at the end of the first half, turned the ball over 4 times, and lost by 3 in overtime. So now,
even more reason to talk about this.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet because I got to tell you, for you looking so sad and being miserable, why? You got the Steelers next. You're coming off of a loss. It's a short week. Who knows what's going to happen? The two major things in the NFL right now, the Ravens are shutting things down because of COVID, and Joe Burrow has structural issues, ACL and MCL tears in his knee. So whether or not he can come back, that's not 100%. But as far as the Ravens are concerned, yes, you're on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs go currently. But you got the Steelers for Thanksgiving, and then you get a nice break. You know, you come back with the Cowboys, and then the Browns, and then the Jaguars, and then the Giants, and then the Bengals. You have the easiest schedule left in professional football, Mr. Ray Cash.
You're right. However, we're still behind that man's team. And, like, we might as well be 0-11 right now at this point.
And my name is Pitt, and you ain't talking your ass out of this shit, okay? So, number one, the real Browns coming off a win against division leader Philadelphia. We literally just beat a division leader.
Yes, the NFC least division leader.
Are they the division leaders or are they not, Sonny?
That's the type of wins that Browns fans call. That's the type that's what they take.
Is Philly leading their division or not, sir? Yes or no?
Nobody in the division is better than 3 games under 500.
Okay, but who's winning the division?
Semantics ass.
Who's winning the division?
Because of a tie, the Eagles are.
No, not because of shit. Who's winning the division, goddammit?
Say it. Because of a tie.
Say it. not because of a tie, they're winning the division.
Do you know the Browns? Do you want to know the kind of argument you want to know the kind of argument you tend to put out when we talk about the Browns? Do you want to know what type of argument it is?
Go on.
It's the argument of a team that's actually not a very good team.
Exactly. So let's skip this whole damn talk in the first place.
Because when you complete only 12 passes a game and Kareem Hunt gets 13 yards on 11 carries, when you play big boy competition, and you guys have had, and you don't come through in those games. I'm not saying that you're not going to get your chance in the playoffs this year. And I'm not saying I'm happy for you and for your team because I like a lot of the players on that team. But if you think that you're in the upper echelon of the AFC, you're not.
Oh, the Browns are trash, man. When have I ever said anything different than that? I'm enjoying this right now because the real Browns currently have a better record than the fake Browns. And I agree with everything that you told Ray previously to when I started talking. I mean, I kind of feel like Thursday's game is a must-win versus Pittsburgh because then you fall to 6-5, and then you would have to run the table, which, I mean, considering that schedule, it's not outside the realm of possibility, but it would behoove you all, which means it would be in your best interest to win that game on Thursday. Now, keep in mind, the Browns, again, we're 7-3, right? The Browns are 7-3. Look at our remaining schedule. I know, Tony, you said that the Ravens have the easiest remaining schedule, but let's are you going to run through it, or do you want I?
I got it. Because
I can do it.
I got it.
Okay, go for it.
So you're at the Jaguars. That should be a win. Mm-hmm. You have to go to Tennessee. That's going to be a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
You got Baltimore at home. That's another tough game. But then you got
which all of a sudden looks like a toss up because
But then you spend 8 days in New York and you get both New York teams back to back. So there's two more wins. So you're at that's 10 right there. Jaguars, Jets, and Giants. You guys should win at least 10 games. You do finish with the Steelers, but the Steelers likely to lose a game along the way, probably 14-1 at that point, secured number one seed and not really playing for anything. That's my prediction for the Steelers down the road and for you guys. So yes. 10-12 games for you guys, I see you winning.
You literally just stole my entire thunder, man, because I had this whole soliloquy that I was going to come on here and say that I've been working on since yesterday, and you just literally said everything I was going to say. It's not inconceivable that the Browns could mess around and win 10 and 11 games.
I don't want to live in that world, bro. Like, I'm not comfortable being a part of this society where the Browns win 10, 11 games and they are more successful. They're not better. More successful than the Ravens.
Well, the records screams otherwise as of right now, sir. You know? Yeah. Well, yeah. You are on the outside looking in. Yeah. We're there.
Thank you for that.
Buffalo is handily in charge of their division. Well, they got a game lead over Miami, so they're the leaders there.
Yeah, not handily.
No. I'm getting to a point here. The Colts are now in the lead in their division, but they're tied with the Titans. I'm sure they play again. So you have those teams. The Raiders are 6-4. The Dolphins are 6-4. That's how crowded it is. There are 9 teams that are above 500. 3 of them 6-4. 4 of them 7-3. This is what I want to talk about, though. Here's the Chiefs' remaining schedule. They're a game behind the Steelers, right? Let's start with the Chiefs' schedule and see how many games we think they can win and whether or not they can pass the Steelers and see how many games the Steelers possibly lose. The Chiefs play the Buccaneers Sunday in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Big game.
Then they got there's no reason they would lose to the Broncos or the Dolphins. They do have to go to New Orleans as well, and there's no reason they should lose to the Falcons or the Chargers. So maybe they lose one more game, maybe they don't.
I don't believe in Tampa Bay or the Saints, but I could see the Chiefs dropping one of those games.
I can see the Chiefs dropping one possibly, but I think we're not giving enough respect to either the Saints or Tampa Bay, and the Chargers played them hard every time they play.
Division game. That's losable. That's losable, rather. I mean, frankly, shit, the Chargers should probably be about, what, 8-2 right now if we keep it in a buck and a half.
Every year they lose every game less than 6 points, yeah.
And I thought it was Phillip, but no, it's just maybe that team is just cursed for whatever reason.
It is.
Hey, the Colts are playing well, and we'll get to their big win when we flip it over to the NFC side. But Here's the Steelers' remaining schedule. They're on pretty much in every other, and you'll get what I mean when I tell you the schedule. They got the Ravens, which we already talked about. Then they come home and play the Washington football team. Then the next week they have to go to Buffalo. Then they get to come home and play the Bengals. Then the next week they have the Colts. And then, depending on where they're at, the Browns game, whether or not that means anything, they do have to go to Cleveland. So the Steelers don't have the easiest schedule, I would say. They have probably one of the harder schedules out of the teams we've talked about schedule-wise.
But you said something earlier before we started recording that made a lot of sense to me. Are they going to shut it down after a certain point? Because they might not need to win all those games. And you know they have an aging quarterback with a messed up arm.
And that has a lot to do. That has a lot to do with what Kansas City does with their schedule as well. I mean, those are the two teams that were 1-0, right? Those are the two teams that are going to finish with one or two losses, likely. Maybe three at the most. The rest of them are already there.
Oh, I just thought about something. This year, there's only one bye, so they might have to play the whole season.
That's what I was talking about. I mean, that one seed is huge. Those two teams going after it. That's why when we get to the NFC side, it's even more mucky. It's like kind of like the wild card situation is adjacent to the number one seed in the NFC, if you want to talk about it that way. What are you guys' last thoughts on the AFC?
Well, the thing about the NFC is I think that all their teams are pretty much set. We pretty much know who's going to be in the playoffs from the NFC. It's just a matter of seeding. Now, with the AFC, I think that we can all come to the consensus that Pittsburgh and Kansas City, they're the class of the AFC, right? They're going to be 1-2 in some configuration. So then you go back down to that next tier. So we've got Buffalo and Miami.
Buffalo's set. You can throw Buffalo in there. Buffalo may not be in the top tier, but Buffalo is easily going to be the 3 seed regardless what happens.
Okay, so let's say that then. Buffalo is going to be the 3rd seed. Okay.
3 or 4.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cuz I was going to say Buffalo or Miami, and then I was going to throw the Colts and the Tennessee in there. You know, two of those teams are going to get two of those playoff spots because somebody's got to win those divisions. So then that's 4 seeds right there. So then that leaves 3 prospects for Cleveland. The teams that I named that, you know, aren't going to win that division, you throw Baltimore in there, you throw the Raiders in there.
3 spots for 5 teams, basically, yeah.
3s. And maybe would you throw the Patriots in there, or no, are they – it's done, a wrap for them?
It's okay. Done for them, yeah.
Okay.
I think unless the Patriots are two teams tanking.
The Patriots are 2 games behind 3 teams that are 6-4, and those 3 teams that are 6-4 are all tied for the last playoff berth. If you break it down, you get the 4 division winners – the best one gets the bye, and then there's 3 more wild cards that play the other 3 division winners. You end up with 4 teams in the second round.
And if I'm the Browns, I would love to get that 5 or 6 seed because, the top 2 seeds are going to be Pittsburgh and Kansas City, and nobody wants to be the 7th seed because if you go to one of those teams, it's Rap City. But if the Bills are going to get 3 and the Browns conceivably get 6 – that's a winnable game, okay? PC, I know you believe in Josh Allen a lot more than I do. Ray, I don't know how you feel about him, but I'm just saying it's Buffalo in January. It's going to be cold. It's probably going to be snowing. And with the Browns, a team that runs the ball very well and the defense has been playing better. Granted, I mean, the last 3 games, they've played Oakland, Philly, and who's the other team they beat? Not either way, it doesn't matter. Not exactly a murderer's row. I'm just saying that all of a sudden in Buffalo in the wild card, that becomes a winnable game because of the way that the Browns can run the football. I'm just saying.
I just want to tell you about Buffalo. If you're wishing for Buffalo, be careful what you wish for. They have 3 losses. One of them is by 2 points to the Cardinals by that awesome, unbelievable pass from Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, they might be 8-2 if it wasn't for the Hail Murray, they're calling it. They played a tough game against Kansas City and lost by less than 10 to them. They did have a bad loss at Tennessee, but they have wins over Miami, the Rams, the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Seahawks.
That's great, but it's still Josh Allen in the playoffs, and I'll believe it when I see it.
And that's coming from – and that's like – yes, exactly. I mean,
they're not going to let him throw the ball. They're going to let Josh Allen throw the ball.
They're going to have to throw the ball against Buffalo. Buffalo scores.
Would you take Devin Singletary over Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt?
I would take the Buffalo Bills at home over the Cleveland Browns. How's that for you? Who gives a shit about the rest of it?
In a weather game when it's going to be cold, it's going to be snowing, and the elements are going to be
affected.
So is Cleveland.
I am basically 40 years old and have watched the NFL consistently since Brett Favre became a starter back in 1992 or 3, if my memory serves me correctly. I know what the weather's like in Buffalo. I'm fucking live in Southeast Wisconsin. I am 2 hours south of Green Bay.
Okay, but you've had 20 years of Hall of Fame, 25 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. You don't know what these mid-level ass quarterback games are about.
I'm just saying.
As much as I look right,
be careful. Admit,
you know Flacco was mid. Like you, we know what that mid game is about.
Be careful what you wish for is all I'm saying.
Sir, to a Baltimore Ravens fan, Joe Flacco is elite. You can't tell me otherwise.
Flacco, yeah, he's tearing it up in New York right now, ain't he?
Well, he's the only reason they got that. Well, did they win that? Whatever. He's the only reason they've been playing better.
Okay, we're not comparing it with Sam Darnold. Yes,
like, we're not talking about the Jets.
Or gonorrhea.
So the NFC playoff picture.
the final thing I want to say is to Platt's point, the teams that you might think you might be able to sneak a win on if you're one of the lower wild card teams is the Bills, but definitely the Colts are beatable. The Colts are absolutely beatable, especially Phillip Rivers in the 18th week of the season. That's a winnable game. So, I just wanted to point that out.
That's a great transition because the Browns actually beat the Colts this year, which is something that I can't say for...
Not the transition I was looking for, but okay.
No, that's perfect because that's where we should start, because if the Packers would have won that game, they'd still be the number one seed. They'd be tied with the Saints, who they beat. That's probably... You know, if you look at it... To me, you have to look at all this stuff by, like, remaining schedule and quality wins. What they've done in the past and who they're going to play in the future. To me, it's a lot like forecasting a college football playoff on thinking about who's going to end up where and what it's going to be. The Packers, that's a game they should have won. They're up 28-14 at halftime. They turned the ball over four times. One of them is a defensive touchdown. I give props to the defense holding the Colts to 24 points with the Packers giving them four turnovers, right? I mean, you take away the 31 right there, or 27, they had 34 the overtime. But, I mean, they had a chance to win it. They didn't have to kick a field goal. They could have got a touchdown to win it in regulation, and they had a chance to win it in overtime. They won the coin toss. So, you know, the turnovers have killed the Packers. They lost when they've turned the ball over, and that's because of the game against the Buccaneers, and then they ran into Dalvin Cook against Minnesota. That's a tough game for anybody when you have a team that's very solid, underachieving, but it's also your division rival. You guys know what I'm talking about. You can easily lose those games, whether or not that team's over 500. So, yeah, I mean, the Packers stepped on their toe, and then just to add it real quick in, because I said about it, so did the Vikings losing to Dallas. They could have been 5-5 and one game back instead. Now they're 4-6 with six games to go. It's really hard to keep coming back from stuff like that. So both the Packers and the Vikings, you know, stepped on their dicks.
My question for you, Tony, as a Packers fan is, one, does that concern you going into the playoffs? And two, who do you attribute that to? Is that more Aaron Rodgers or more LaFleur?
You know, it's funny because Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl, we were a wild card and they ran it through. That team,
that's right.
That team had Donald Driver and Charles Woodson. And I want to tell you, that means a ton because those guys both got hurt in the Super Bowl, but they played really well that entire year. And to have veterans like that, I don't know of who they have on each side of the ball that I would really say is that person for them. I don't feel like it's a year they're going to win the Super Bowl. I feel like it's a year they could be in the Super Bowl. I feel like it's a year they could win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to. But it's too bad. They keep losing the things, and they still have to play better teams. They have to play the Bears twice, which is, they're not great, but it's no picnic. They got the Titans as well, so, you know, winnable games. This wasn't
a dominant team.
I guess it's Taysom Hill and the Saints, huh? Let's talk about that. I got to start him at tight end in my ESPN fantasy football league.
Jeez,
me too. It was fantastic. 27 but my quarterback points gave me nothing.
Yeah, that's the same thing happened to me.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about the NFC, man. There's every team has a fatal flaw. You know what I mean? Green Bay. I think Green Bay is good, but I also think that they're schizophrenic. So it depends on, you know, what team is going to show up. Obviously, you know, I don't believe in Tampa Bay. They've played well. The defense is coming around. They've cut down on some of their, you know, costly mistakes. But at the same point in time, if you pressure Tom, he's going to fold like a cheap napkin.
Sure.
The Saints, yeah, Drew Brees. I didn't believe in Drew Brees. Obviously, they had the good game with Taysom Hill starting, which I don't believe that. I think the main thing is that they would have to change their offense so much for Jameis. He's not a dink and dunk guy. That's why Teddy Two Gloves and Drew Brees, they operate in that offense so well because it's very dink and dunk.
Yeah, you know, West Coast.
Yeah, offense, yeah. It's very West Coast. And if you throw Jameis in there, man, you're going to have to stretch out the field a little bit because he likes to throw
air
it downhill.
Raid. He's an air raid guy, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see how well that goes starting Taysom Hill. Who else we got? Seattle, their defense is trash.
I want to just catch you with some stats from Taysom Hill, though, that might surprise you, right? 10 carries for 51 yards does not surprise you. And I think that's something that Taysom Hill is more likely to give you than Jameis Winston at this point in his career, just to be honest with you. I'm not saying Jameis Winston isn't better than at least 12 of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now, all right?
Jameis was never a runner.
No, but I'm just saying, this is Taysom Hill's positives. This is why he's out there. He's been in the system forever
Jameis
as well.
Jameis was never a runner, man. He's a statue in the pocket.
But he was 18 of 23.
Mm-hmm.
For 233 mm-hmm. yards. That's 10 yards an attempt. So that's pretty good as a passer. Let's see.
So he threw the ball 10 yards. Good for him.
But he had completions. All drags and flats.
He had completions of 44, 25, and 23 and 19 yards. So he had, you know, he had four completions of 20 yards, basically.
My main concern for him starting wasn't how many yards he had, how many touchdowns he threw, but could he be efficient? He proved he could be efficient. The next question is, now that they have tape on him, because he's only thrown like four passes in the game at one point, now that they have tape on him, now that they know what is going to be the game plan offensively for the Saints with him as quarterback, will he still be able to be efficient? That's my only concern with Taysom Hill, because he wasn't efficient in college. He's never really been a guy you thought of as an efficient passer. So can he be 65% passer from the pocket? Because you know he's going to roll out. You know he's going to have some bootlegs. You know he's going to... He had two rushing touchdowns. That's what he's going to do. But we're not talking about the red zone. We're talking about the 80 yards in between. 60 yards in between.
And I don't understand why they started him, but at the same time, I do understand why they started him, because he's been in that offense now for a few years. He understands the offense better, and he does add an element that Jameis doesn't add, which is the ability to make something happen with your feet. But like you said, Ray, he's basically been slashed his entire time in the NFL, or at least since he's been with the Saints.
Disrespectful to Cordell Stewart, to be honest.
It really is, because he led a 15-1 team to the AFC Championship. That is disrespectful to Cordell Stewart. But you know, as teams get more footage on him, they're going to start to pick up on his deficiencies, and there's only so far they can go. Yep. Like, I'm hoping that you're grooming Jameis to be in that spot, because Drew Brees is on IR right now. Is that correct?
2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So IR is not how it used to be.
Yes, I
know IR is not how it used to be. Back in the day, if you went on IR, that means you were donezo for the year. But now it doesn't work like that anymore.
But he does have 8 fractured ribs, and he had a collapsed lung. So he may not be coming back as fast as everybody thinks.
11 fractured ribs.
Oh, 11.
8 on the left side, 3 on the right.
There you go.
It is like he got hit by a truck, dog. Like,
No, I said 8 because...
How many ribs do we have?
8 because I think he said 3 of them are from the week before. He was playing with 3 fractured already, and 8 more got fractured in that last hit.
Yeah.
Well, how many do we have? If 11 of them is fucked up, how many ribs do we have? Can somebody answer that question for me?
As men,
I think it's 16 or 18.
As men, we have one less than women, I believe.
Yeah, because we gave one up for women to get here, if you believe the Bible story. But I'm not going there.
Please
I don't
believe that story
either.
The Scientologist and atheist are going to be mad at us.
We're not going there.
You can at me at It's Me DPP if you're mad about that.
Pop. Right? You can at me at IWC War Chief.
Well, who am I going to be? I'm at Wrestling Realist without the
eye. Yeah, boom.
But yeah.
Three man weave, fake identities.
I don't. I think, Jameis is going to take that team as far as they're going to go, and I don't know where that's at. Well, but everybody's kind of sleeping on the Rams. Like, I don't believe in Jared Goff, but the Rams aren't horrible, and they weren't bad last year. They won nine games last year.
It all comes down to Jared Goff, though, man. And
in the playoffs, no, he's not. No,
exactly. So it's like, why would I believe with him in the regular season? And yes, he took him to a Super Bowl, give him all the credit in the world, but that was off the back of that defense, and he had an otherworldly offensive year. That was like an outlier in his career. And the Taysom Hill situation is simply a shit or get off the pot situation. Taysom Hill got paid like $21 million. Jameis is making like the minimum. We got to see what we got with Taysom Hill. We know what Jameis can do. That's all that is. But the West is an interesting thing, Tony. I don't know if you were going to go to the NFC West, but that's an interesting.
Here, let me run it down for you. Seattle's got one of the easier schedules as well. They do have a matchup with the Rams, but they get them at home week 16. That's what this could come down to. You really don't expect the Niners to do much. The Cardinals are a game behind both of them. The Seahawks don't have to play the Cardinals again, though. Eagles, Giants, Jets, Washington are their next four games. Then the Rams, then they finish with the Niners. Now the Rams, on the other hand, their schedule consists of the Niners. Well, the first the Buccaneers, the Niners, the Cardinals, the Patriots. That's a little bit more difficult. They do have the Jets, but then they have the Seahawks and the Cardinals. They have the Cardinals two more times. So Seahawks easily the easier path with the tied record.
Can teams make it from that division to the playoffs?
It looks like it right
with
now.
With 17th in the playoffs, yeah. Because I still believe that Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland are all going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, y'all know I picked Arizona to win this division before the season started because there's always that team that comes out of nowhere and wins, you know, 11, 12 games and wins the division, and I thought that was going to be the Cardinals. They might have shit the bed and messed up their chances losing that Dolphins game. I feel like that Dolphins game is going to come back and bite them in the keister.
Sure.
The Cardinals, looking at their schedule, should win at least three more games. Do you think that that gives them nine wins? Do you think that the Bears are going to win four more games? They're going to win four out of six?
No.
Do you think that the Vikings or Lions are going to win five out of six? That's where I could have picked the Vikings to maybe possibly pass the Cardinals one game back right now, but that loss to Dallas, that crushes them.
Yeah, that kind of took them out of contention because they were starting to come on a little bit. But yeah, that's a bad loss, especially to who the hell is the quarterback in Dallas right now? Is it fucking is Andy Jerry Dalton out there Andy throwing Dalton. Passes? Oh, Andy Dalton back. Andy okay, Dalton. So that's why they won. Oh, so
and I saved so the
Dallas
best.
I make a little bit of a run here.
I saved the best and closest race for last. Now, if you want to ignore the record and simply look at the standings inside its own bubble of a division, the Eagles are a half a game again ahead of the Giants. They're a half a game ahead of the Washington football team. And they're a half a game against the Cowboys. That's right. The Cowboys, Giants, and Washington are all 3-7. The Eagles lead the NFC East at 3-6-1.
I didn't realize that Richie Cunningham was back for Dallas. That's kind of a game changer because they could mess around and get to 6-10 and win that division.
Andy Dalton has starting level talent. And if Carson Wentz didn't forget how to play quarterback all of a sudden, he'd be the best quarterback in the division. But right now, Alex Smith, Daniel Jones, and Andy Dalton are all, whatever you get from the Cowboys, are all playing better at the quarterback position than the Eagles. And that is terrible because Carson Wentz makes a million plus a contract. So, like, what are you thinking? Is it Jalen Hurts time in the Eagles, in Philadelphia? Is that something they need to think about? Because there is no reason the Eagles should not, pardon the pun, but fly to the damn playoffs. But all these other teams, the Giants are playing the best. The Washington football team may look the most dangerous if you look at all things considered. And the Cowboys finally got a competent quarterback. Like, it doesn't make any sense for the Eagles to not be killing this division right now.
Dallas has by far the easiest schedule left, just browsing over it very briefly. They get Washington. They do have to go to Baltimore, but then they get the Bengals, the Niners at home, and they control their own destiny because they do play Washington right away. They play the Eagles at home, and they get the Giants. So they have all three teams inside the division. this is a team in Dallas that could easily, with what, 6 games left, go 5-1 here, just lose to the Ravens. I could easily see them go 8-8 and win this division. My money right now would be on, unfortunately, the Mike McCarthy-led Andy Dalton quarterback, Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going to put it out there right now. I'm predicting the Cowboys to go and finish 8-8 with their only remaining loss being to, oh shit, who did I just say their tough game was? The Baltimore Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yep. Well, it's going to be a sad 5 out of 6 weeks for Stephen A. Smith on First Take. Sorry, partner.
As a 9, as a 10, as a 11, as a 12. It is completely egregious to think that a monstrosity known as the Dallas Cowboys could win that division. But it might happen. I mean, I think we're going to know a lot to see what happens on Thursday with the Cowboys versus the Indians, also known as the Washington football team. I think whoever wins that game on Thursday is probably going to mess around and win that division. Like, there's a reason Riverboat Ron sat Haskins, and I hate that decision. I'm not going to get into it.
It's,
I hate
worked,
it,
though. They've played better. They've played much better. Yeah.
Because he looked at the lay of the land and said, oh, shit, we actually got a shot in this Mellon Farmer. So perhaps I should get somebody out there before old boy got killed. And then they brought in Alex Smith, who previously got killed. But he was thinking that they had a shot in this division because it's that trash. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. And who cares, man, because I haven't gotten a prediction right since I said Trump was going to win the presidency in 2016. I'm going to say that the winner of the Thanksgiving matchup between the Cowboys and Washington, that's the team that's going to win this division.
Well, I'm not gonna make a prediction on who's gonna win, but I'm gonna make a prediction that in the next 6 games of the season, Carson Wentz will be benched.
But let me ask you this though: if they thought that Jalen Hurts was ready, don't you think he would have been in there by now? Because Carson's been shitting the bed this whole time.
Carson is their franchise quarterback. You got to rock with your franchise guy. When you've paid a guy to be your franchise quarterback, you have to rock with him. And I think he has to lose the position. And not, it's different when it's a guy who's garbage. You can, like, no offense to the Washington quarterbacks, because I don't think Dwayne Haskins is garbage, but you can just flip them interchangeably because ultimately none of them are the guy. When you have paid a guy and said he is the guy, he has to lose that. He has to get hurt or lose it. And he's on the verge of losing it because they're still winning the division right now by the grace of a tie. And, like, so he's been playing terrible, but it's been terrible enough where they're not, like, completely out of the division. I think you're going to see Washington and Dallas and the Giants start to usurp them. And I think that's going to be when they say, wait a minute, Doug Peterson's going to be like, okay, I love you, Carson, but maybe next year we need a spark. And I think Jalen Hurts can be a spark for them.
So I wasn't watching football at the time, but Doug Peterson, the coach for the Eagles, how in the bloody hell did this Jay Brone win a Super Bowl?
He's a good quarterback. He's a good coach. He's a good coach.
He had a much better team. They've been really riddled with injuries, and they bet the farm basically on Carson Wentz being like the next between Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes kind of player, and he has flashes of brilliance like that, but the farther he gets into his career, the less and less he looks like a guy that should actually be starting for an NFL franchise.
And if they have less offensive weapons than Baltimore does.
Like Carson Wentz, if he wouldn't have gotten hurt, if Carson Wentz wouldn't have gotten hurt the year they won the Super Bowl, he would have been the MVP.
It was MVP. Easily, yeah. Runaway.
Do y'all think they would have still won the Super Bowl that year?
Hard to say. That's all magic. That's all playoffs. That's all hearsay, man.
Question.
No idea.
Do you think
the Packers would have beat the Eli Manning Giants in the NFC Championship game if McCarthy would have benched Favre at halftime like he wanted to for Aaron Rodgers? I don't like to think about stuff like that.
Well, you also have 2 Super Bowls in the last 20 years, so blow me.
All right, let's finish this.
You
like
too, Ray, so you could blow me as well.
Let's finish it like this.
My team.
Well, you can keep wishing for championships and blowjobs, all right?
Who does it?
Championship wishes, and maybe this week's episode will be called Championship Wishes and Blowjob Dreams.
You just described Pat Mahomes' life right now.
Oh, for sure. All right, guys, let's close out this segment by saying what we're looking forward to on Thanksgiving besides the football and picking these games. So let's pick the games first. We're going to do the over and under. Next week we can all gloat at whether or not we were right. We'll go around the horn, and then lastly we'll tell everybody what we're most looking forward to this coming Thursday, Thanksgiving, food, family, fun, everything in between. And football. Four Fs, right? All right. The 12:30 Eastern.
And four, five Fs.
Well, there you go. Five Fs.
Yes, yes.
The noon 30 Eastern time game will feature the Detroit Lions as they do host the Houston Texans. It is probably the least important game out of all of the games. Definitely the least important game, possibly of the week. Over under 51.5. Houston is -2.5. What do you guys got?
I got this game on in the background while we're finishing up our food.
Listen,
and it's
listen.
Just on. And every now and again,
the only reason
at
this game is
happening.
This game is important. This game is important to uncomfortable like boyfriends and relatives over at other relatives' houses, so that they have something they can focus on when they don't want to talk to the people around them and they feel very uncomfortable. At least there's Houston and Detroit. Fine, give it to me. It's better than Aunt Nancy over here.
I live in Houston. It's important to people here, sir.
Yeah, but that's it. Every NFL. Okay, so 1 out of 32 cities. 2 out of 32 cities are excited about every game. Okay, get over it.
There you go. Basically, yeah.
And Stafford's not playing this game, is he?
No, he's playing. He's playing.
What's your pick, Chris? What's your pick?
I'm going Houston, man.
Over under 51.5.
Like I just like Deshaun Watson more than whatever the monstrosity. Matt Patricia should have been out of here a long time ago because that team is not untalented.
And they fired Jim Caldwell after he won 3 straight 10-win seasons.
Over under 51.5.
No, we're not getting that many points.
Under Houston.
Oh,
in
going
under. So you're going it's Houston. Going Platt, you have Houston in the under. Okay. Ray, what do you got? Houston in the over.
Houston, and I have Detroit in the over for sure. First and foremost,
you're
on over
Detroit?
Under. I'm picking Detroit to win. Yes. Okay. Both teams are terrible defensively. That it's gonna be a light show.
You guys both over.
What's the spread for the game?
2.5. Houston's given 2.5. You both have the over though, right?
Yeah, both have the over, and so it's gonna be close. 2.5. I guess I gotta go with Detroit because they're gonna win by field goal.
All right, I'll take Detroit in the under.
Go on.
Sometimes you run to the smell. It's just a betting thing.
I ain't mad at you, bro. You're probably right.
Yeah,
I
can dig it. I mean,
I haven't
bro,
bet.
This is
listen, I haven't bet money on good. Legitimately bet money or had betting money interest in football for probably well over 15 years, but I've paid attention and made picks for the last 15 years. And this one, I don't know, just feels like a Detroit at home. Houston's happy coming off of a win. They're not a very successful team. They're not necessarily interested in winning. Detroit's 4-6. They're 2 games out of the playoffs. So I'm going
to
go with Detroit here.
This game matters
maybe,
to Detroit. They talk about how much game this matters.
If Detroit gets Kenny Golladay back for this game, I really like Detroit.
I just really hate Matt Patricia, and that's it. I just really hate Matt Patricia, and the fact, like Ray brought up, they got rid of Jim Caldwell for this smelling farmer, and Jim Caldwell has deficiencies as a coach. We obviously know that, but he literally is a quarterback guru, and this smelling farmer has made a Super Bowl. And I mean, what has Detroit been since they let him go? And I love Deshaun Watson as well. And I'm sad that they got rid of all of his good players and he's just out there getting killed. But I mean, who knows, man? This is basically like, okay, who you got? You got cancer or you got AIDS? This is basically that game. Nobody's paying attention to this game, man. And we're not getting together and gathering for Thanksgiving. We're Zooming for Thanksgiving. Like, I've already got my Zoom call set up with my mother. So you're just going to be in the kitchen cooking. You'll peek your head in every now and again, like you do every year for Thanksgiving and Detroit games, and see who's winning and if anything exciting is happening, and that's it.
All right, well, the afternoon game, if you're still gathered with somebody else and Aunt Edna wakes up from her nap and she wants to talk to you, about how life was when she was a child. You can always turn on Fox and watch Washington at Dallas. Ray, you like that?
Well, hilarious, yes.
Well, Aunt Edna is watching Fox anyway. I don't think she's watching the I think it's the news.
Yeah, she's not watching Fox, the broadcast show. She's watching the other.
Them Dallas Cowboys that I predicted to win the division, they are -2.5 at home, and the over-under is 46.5. I am going to take the Cowboys and the under.
And this is basically a tornado versus a hurricane. Like, if the last matchup was syphilis versus gonorrhea, this is a tornado versus a hurricane. We're not going to get a good game until later on in this evening, and obviously we'll get to that momentarily. But, yeah, I'm going to go Richie Cunningham and the Dallas Cowboys on this one.
What was the spread for the game?
Over under
the total,
40.
Over
under 46.5, and Dallas is -2.5. Platt, you have Dallas in the over, you said?
And it sucks because Washington has the coach, but the Cowboys got the quarterback.
Yes or no? You do have Dallas in the over?
What is it? Give me the over again. Give me the under over again.
There's people just yelling at their phones right now that they can't believe that you can't remember what I said 30 seconds ago.
Just the gamblers are yelling right now.
And everybody that's yelling right now, you could blow me, okay? I got a ball for each of you. Wait your turn. Go ahead.
Shit. 46.5.
46.5. 46 -2.5.
I'm going to go over because both of these teams are trash, and Dallas's defense is trash. Washington's defense isn't trash per se, but I'm just going to go over.
Under in Washington.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for paying attention.
We said it like 6 times. If I didn't pay attention then, it's a problem.
Well, yeah, it took you 6 times to pay attention, then you got it. And then now you come off like, oh, yeah, I know what's happening. Yeah.
Here you go, Chris. Baltimore over under 45.5, Pittsburgh -4.5. There you go. It's right there. See it? There you go.
That's a fair spread. That's a fair spread.
I'm taking the under, and I think Baltimore wins this game because they have to. This game means a lot more to them than it does Pittsburgh's. They have to win this game. So I'm going Baltimore, and I'm going the under. Because y'all know these Baltimore-Pittsburgh games, man. They're hard-hitting. They tend to be low-scoring. And, yeah, I'm going Baltimore here with the under.
So my heart says Baltimore in the over. But my head says these are the type of games where Pittsburgh wins. So I'm going to do something I never do, and I'm going to pick with my head and say Pittsburgh in the over.
Really?
Yeah. But these are those games, the damn Antonio Brown and his fucking hand. These are the games that happen to us where we need it. And, like, the thing about Pittsburgh and Baltimore is it's very rare that both teams are really good.
Yeah.
Usually one team is significantly better than the other. Like, the games where – and the teams – the seasons where both teams are really good, we play in the AFC Championship game. That ain't happening this year.
I just feel like y'all need this game more than Pittsburgh does because
we don't have the talent though. We just don't have the talent right now. We don't have the bodies.
Yeah, the injuries really are a thing, aren't they?
Yep. If you tell me we get Calais and Brandon Williams back, I may change my pick because that'll shore up the defense.
And I clowned you last week talking about your injuries. I said, you know, cry me a fucking river. Everybody's injured at this particular point in time. But the injuries really are a thing for y'all. It really is. Like, y'all are really out here short man. And clearly the league has caught up to Lamar. But at the same point in time, y'all don't really have a lot of bullets in the chamber right now. So do you see a scenario where Baltimore does not make the playoffs?
No, we're too talented for that. If you think about it, and this isn't a bias thing, if you think about it, we had the one loss where Kansas City beat our ass. Given that there's a Kansas City deficiency in Baltimore's mindset right now, we get that.
I mean, but defending champs, there's no shame in that.
Absolutely, but like they do something to us other than the other team. But every other game we've had, we lost a one possession game to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. We lost a one possession game in a monsoon to to the Patriots where our center like fumbled three snaps or four snaps, and then we lost a one possession game in overtime to Tennessee. So we're in every game losing to good teams, except for the Patriots. So like we're a good team, we're just not what we were last year.
So this is what gives me pause for the cause, and I hate to be I don't want to be that hyperbolic guy, because you know every single week the sports journalists and the pundits and stuff like that, they overreact to everything that happens on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. Are we sure that Tennessee is good? I mean, that defense is trash. Obviously, Henry is a beast, and, you know, they don't really put Tannehill. It's kind of like on the Brown side of the game, just like Baker. Tannehill's the same thing. They don't put him in a position to fuck shit up. But well, are we sure that Tennessee is good? Because I don't know.
Well, there's good and there's playoff ready. They're playoff ready. I don't know if they're good, but they're definitely good enough to make the playoffs.
Well, okay, they're good enough to make the playoffs. I just don't know if they're good.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. They're not what they were last year either. Yeah. But they were a late bloomer last year. They weren't that whole way that year because Tannehill took the job over in the middle of the season. So, you know, we'll see.
All right, gentlemen. Thanksgiving. What are you most looking forward to? Personally, I rather enjoy drinking all day, which is pretty much a great way to spend.
What's the difference?
It's a great day to spend.
Between you and every other day.
great thing to do any day of the week.
Ray be sneak dissing. Don't let that go, Tony. You better get his ass back, because he be sneak dissing about our habits. What am I looking for? Our vices.
I know
let
who
me
I
correct
am.
You.
I know who
there's
I am.
No sneak. There's nothing sneak about it, sir.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him either. I know who I am. But you should know who you are, too. Come on, now. All right, the food. I love the food. Turkey, you can make it a lot of ways. You can screw it up. Just don't make it dry, and it's generally pretty good. The dark meat is always the best. I love stuffing. I love sweet potatoes. I love the green bean casserole. I love whatever kind of pie you're going to have afterwards. My favorite is a chocolate pecan pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream. It's so fucking good.
Poutine pie. Go on.
All right, Rock. But anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing some relatives and having some really good food and maybe a big glass of red wine.
So can I make my annual public service announcement?
Well, should I go first before you take this time so we can move on afterwards?
Yeah, then you can just run right into a commercial then, Platt.
I'm looking forward for sure to seeing all the Texas teams lose. That's definitely something I'm looking forward to. food-wise, as much as I enjoy turkey, I'm a honey-baked ham guy myself.
Nice.
Honey-baked ham, stuffing, mac and cheese. I don't really need much else. I'm like, that'll last me. But yeah, man, and just, you know, hoping nobody else gets sick with this damn virus.
Amen.
Hear to that, seriously. So I'm going to, one last time, man, I'm going to teach everybody how to do the turkey right, okay? To make sure that it's juicy on the inside and crispy on the outside. So the first thing you got to do is that you've got to massage melted butter on the inside the skin, not on the skin, but underneath the skin. You've got to massage melted butter in that melon farmer underneath the skin. And then after that, you massage it with olive oil. That way your spices stick to the skin of the turkey. Now, as far as spices, I'm not going to go there, man. Everybody got their own flavor. But you know, this is what you do. So then you put the turkey on 450 in the oven for about 25, 30 minutes. After that 25, 30 minutes, you drop it back down to 350. You cover it up with foil and occasionally basting it, okay? Trust me on this. That guarantees, shut up. It guarantees that you're going to have the crispy skin on the outside and the meat is going to be tender and moist and juicy on the inside. You don't believe me? Try it.
No.
So, fuck the TikTok.
Come on, man. We can't have a damn drop battle. Come on, bro.
But all jokes aside, man, trust me on this. And I also have to make my annual public service announcement, all right? don't add extra shit to the macaroni and cheese. Macaroni and cheese does not need your help. It's macaroni and it's cheese. Don't put bacon or eggs or any other goofy shit that you could possibly put in the macaroni and cheese. Let it be what it is. It's macaroni and it's cheese.
The only thing I can tell you you can put in your macaroni and cheese is if you know how to make macaroni and cheese with lobster in it.
That's it. That's the one. That's it. And if you can't, don't do it. But if you can, please do it. But that's it. That's it.
Who fancy ass making lobster mac and cheese for fucking Thanksgiving?
Oh, that's the thing, man.
That's the thing. It's good as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't love lobster?
Think about it. Instead of the drawn butter, it's the mac and cheese. And then you have the... It's not... You know, you got to be... Don't be that rubbery fucking lobster. You might as well not even put it in there. But if you have it real tender and nice and, you know, almost like a piece of fish when you bite into it with the cheese and then the different texture with the noodles and the mac and cheese. Oh, and then you got the crisp on top. I don't know. I don't mind a little bit of, like, crumbled bacon on the top of it. But that's just me. But I agree with everything else.
Yeah. Who doesn't love lobster? The damn lobster's dying for your ass to eat them. That's who don't love it.
Oh, yeah, because the turkeys are all copacetic right now.
Hey, did you see the Red Bull commercial? Only reason turkeys got ate is because they didn't get none of the Red Bull.
All right, folks, happy Thanksgiving from everybody here at Three Man Weave. Be safe and enjoy the beginning of the rest of the holiday season. We'll be right back with a lot of NBA talk.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta. Shield.
Hey folks, listen up, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net. Pins, stickers, illustrations. angrylemonade.net.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Three Man Weave. We're just enjoying ourselves on the precipice of Thanksgiving. And it's already been announced that the NBA will start before Christmas. Free agency has begun. The draft has been had, Mr. Ray Cash. Let me run down some of the major free agency things that have happened just to, like, wet everybody's whistle, okay? The Lakers just traded for Marc Gasol. They also re-signed KCP. Ibaka went to the Clippers. Melo's staying with the Blazers. Gordon Hayward to the Charlotte Hornets. With Melo, right? Melo Ball on the Charlotte Hornets.
You skipped some more Lakers, though.
We're getting there. Fred VanVleet re-signs in Toronto. Tristan Thompson to Boston. Dwight Howard to Philly. Joe Harris sticking with the Nets. Montrezl Harrell and Wes Matthews also sign with the Lakers. Those are two huge bench bolstering spots. Go ahead.
And Dennis Schroeder got traded.
Yeah, well, yep, that's right. That was already a given, I think, before free agency started. I think Dennis Schroeder, that was Danny Green, part of that deal. Danny Green ended up got trading from Oklahoma City to Charlotte, I believe, as well.
No, he's with
Detroit.
Philadelphia now.
Philadelphia, okay, my bad. Yeah. Everybody, there's a lot of moves going on. Gallinari ends up with the Hawks. De'Aaron Fox is staying on a max extension, and he should. He's one of
Jason
the
Tatum.
Yep, Jason Tatum. Goran Dragic and Myers Leonard are going to stay with the Heat. Anthony Davis in no hurry to get the deal done. He ain't going nowhere, though.
No.
The Bucks signed Bobby Portis, DJ Augustine, and Bryn Forbes. And I got to tell you, these are three, to me, very underrated signings. I think people don't understand that Bobby Portis is a very good scoring and rebounding guy that can play on the front line. And then in the backcourt...
He'll knock your ass out, too.
In the backcourt, you add a guy like Augustine who can run an offense and Forbes who can shoot the three. So that's good to see. And I don't think the Bucks are done yet. I'll just start there, and we can just transition into the Lakers, the moves that they've made, Schroeder and Gasol, just to name a few. And then you got Wes Matthews coming in there as well. Who else did I say signed?
Montrez.
Yeah, and Harrell. I mean, the Lakers are going to win it again next year.
And Markieff. And Markieff Morris on a minimum contract when his twin brother signed for 3 or 4 years, $64 million. The Lakers, like the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, and keep it a buck, Rich Paul, just got they got the ski mask on, just robbing motherfuckers. It is crazy how they are better than they were last year, and deeper than they were last year. They have the two top bench players from the league last year on their squad for a team that already has a starting lineup. You replace JaVale McGee with Marc Gasol. You replace LeBron's probably going to play full-time point guard at this point. KCP is back. Schroeder off the – like, they are so – Wes Matthews, like, they are so deep. And with Klay Thompson being hurt, and they got Kelly Oubre, so they'll be a playoff team again. But with Klay Thompson being gone, nobody can touch them in the West. And they're untouchable.
No, and that's funny, man, because you kind of stepped on my point, but I guess great minds think alike. I mean, with the moves that they've made, bringing in Montrezl Harrell, bringing in Schroeder, and the Gasol trade that obviously it's official like a referee's whistle at this point in time, they literally just locked up the title again because they shored up all their deficiencies. They literally shored them up. You bring Schroeder in, that's a guy who they thought what's the guy, Kyle Kuzma, he was going to fill this role. A guy that you can bring in as the first or the second guy off the bench that can give you buckets.
A better
J.R. Smith that can stretch the floor a little bit and play a little defense. You brought in Montrezl Harrell, which is a big, an athletic big that can run and jump, protect the rim, rebound, and can get you a bucket in the post. And we're bringing in Marc Gasol. I don't know what they're going to do with depending on what they do with Rondo. Then he's the second best passer on your entire team.
Absolutely. Yeah, Rondo signed with Atlanta.
Okay.
And sneakily, Atlanta's got a good squad, but I know we're talking about the Lakers right now. The landscape of the West has drastically changed, and not just because of the Lakers, but the Clippers are on the verge of imploding. The Rockets are going to be done because both Harden and Westbrook want to be gone and will be gone, I'm assuming, by the end of the year. And you didn't mention, but the Rockets signed Christian Wood, very underrated acquisition. The Warriors aren't the same without Klay, even though they'll be a playoff team because they got Kelly Oubre to kind of play like mini Klay, for lack of a better term.
I'm interested to see. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother, but to see what Wiseman does, because I think Wiseman has the opportunity to come in and have an immediate impact in this league just because of his skill set, especially and he went to the right team.
He needs to be Tyson Chandler.
If you listen to guys like Kendrick Perkins, they think he can come in and be an 18 and 12 guy. I'm not so sure he's going to see the ball that much. I think he can definitely go out there and get 12. I think his goal should be to get a dozen rebounds and 3 blocks every game. And when the points come, the points come, and just say, Steph, what kind of donut do you want tomorrow morning? And Wiseman seems smart enough to do it, though. I've listened to interviews with him. This is a smart kid. This kid knows basketball. He's a gym rat. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to average 2.5 blocks and 10 rebounds. I don't know where the scoring is going to be at. I'm not really sure what this Golden State team is going to be like. I don't think Andrew Wiggins would be on Golden State still if Klay Thompson didn't tear his Achilles.
He would. Andrew Wiggins plays a better role. He's a more talented version of what Harrison Barnes was in a few years ago. But the points are going to – this is where the points are going to come from.
Take Harrison Barnes.
They're not going to run any plays for kid. He's going to get nothing but run and jump, dunks, and his best friend is going to be Draymond Green, because Draymond Green is such an underrated and sneaky good passer. Watch, a lot of the times Draymond Green will get a rebound and tap it to the big for a wide-open dunk. It's going to be four of those games.
I've said
the kid's going to get 16, 18 off of just being there.
I've said this before many times to many of people, and please don't take this the wrong way. It's mostly comedic and slightly in a look through a heterosexual man's eyes at women. But trust me, I respect women. Okay, every woman's great until she's not, unless she's your mother. Just like Draymond Green's your best friend until he's not.
Agreed.
Ask Kevin Durant.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And Kevin Durant will tell you to this day, that's one of his favorite players he's ever played with. He's also the reason why he left. So yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. He is definitely he is the number one guy on the list of, I hate you when I play against you, but I love you when I play with you.
Mm-hmm. And along with Patrick Beverley, who else is on that list?
Pat Bev is at the top. Maybe even Westbrook, because for some reason,
Westbrook too.
People talk about it, they love him, but they shall be happy when they get away from him.
So we've all hooped at different places, right? I mean, we've all been, you know, consistently going to open gyms and different parks and been in different rec leagues and played in organized leagues and everything else. And that's a very true statement, because I can tell you, not only have I played with and against people like that I didn't like until I played with them, I've very much been that very person as well, that people hated me when they played against me until they played with me and they went, I wouldn't rather go to war with anybody else. And that's just playing against competitors most of the time, as long as the sportsmanship is there after the game.
Oh, I'm sitting next to him right now, my cousin. Could have been in the league if he would have stuck with it, but yes, he is the most...
I'm sure he appreciates you yelling at him like that.
He knows what it is. But like, he's the guy, like, you want to fight him when you're playing against him, but if he's on your team, like, you feel fearless, because he'll go through hell for you. And it's a lot of players like that in the league, but Draymond Green has made a Hall of Fame career out of that shit. It's amazing.
Basketball is interesting like that, man, because I've literally been in situations where, you know, I'm playing, you know, just recreational ball. Like, you literally come to blows with a melon farmer, but at the end of the game, y'all go to the bar and get a beer together. Like, basketball is interesting like that. I don't know how many sports are like that.
Well, fighting sports are like that. You see how many fighting sports you see where the guys hate each other. Okay. Yeah. And it's all this contention going into a 6-month build, and after the fight, they hug. Because there's something about going through a war with somebody that only you guys can understand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's fair.
While we're on the West, I don't know if I'm going ahead of myself, Tony. If I am, I apologize. But I know far and away nobody can touch the Lakers. But I think this is an interesting year for kind of those mid-level younger teams like Portland, like the Jazz, like the Nuggets, like the Mavericks, right? Like Minnesota, if you want to keep it a buck, where they can really make some headway, because like the old heads are kind of falling off, other than the Lakers. And, like, I think they can really make some headway and really do some damage if they really get their games together.
Well, let me ask both of you guys this, man. I want to go around the horn, because Stan Van Gundy, he was hired as the Pelicans coach. Is that correct?
Love it. Love that hire.
Go for it. Yeah, keep going, man.
Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins both test positive for coronavirus.
Yeah, we lost.
Oh, so it's a wrap. Yeah, so Baltimore about to be 6-5. Yeah. The only semblance of a running back y'all had was Mark Ingram.
Well, you got Gus Edwards.
Yeah. Like I said, the only semblance of a running back y'all had was Mark Ingram. And okay, and so Baltimore's going to be 6-5. So they're going to have to run the table, which it's not impossible that y'all could run the table, you know, considering that schedule, but y'all going to probably have to run the table.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that Browns game looks... Because I just was under the assumption that the Browns going to lose that game. But now, all of a sudden, it seems plausible that they might mess around and win it.
Baby, I don't know, man. Well, yeah, finish your thought about the basketball, because, man, fuck football.
But that's fair, yeah. I would understand where you're coming from. I've been in your shoes, like, for the last 25 years. Yeah, basically. Yeah, I could count the number.
Take away in 1998 or whatever year it was when y'all were good. Yeah.
Not you mean no, we weren't even there in 98, man.
I know it's one year in the 90s or one year, some year y'all had a really good season out of nowhere.
That was 07, and we still didn't make the playoffs because Tony Dungy decided to bench his starters the last game of the season, which he always did that shit. But yeah, so the Van Gundy hire is interesting because I think he's going to have them playing defense and he's going to motivate them. I just don't know. I think you need some sort of offensive guru in there to figure out how to design an offense around Zion, and I don't know if Stan is it. I don't know. Maybe he is. Tony, what do you think about the Stan Van Gundy hire in New Orleans?
Stan Van Gundy's a great coach, though. I mean, I think he's the right coach for Zion for the next 3 years. And then when Zion is ready for the big time and there's an actual team built around him, then you maybe bring in someone else. But having said that, I could still see with all the talent surrounding them down there. I mean, like, Ingram could turn into a top 8 player in the NBA very easily.
And you think so?
If Zion,
he's very good, but I don't know about top 8, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, let's.
Can I finish my thought? And what I was saying was, and that really depends on whether.
Whether I'm done, or not, man. Go ahead. I'm
whether done. Or not Zion Williamson can stay on the court.
That's a big if. He needs to probably drop about what, 15.
Well, yeah, and it's, yes. Let's just make one point about Stan Van. Stan Van was the only coach that was able to get consistent offensive input out of Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard, at the time, didn't have one offensive move. So Zion already has 3 or 4 offensive moves. His issue is staying healthy.
That's a good comparison because that Orlando team, offensively at least, it was a funky fit as well. And he got that team to the NBA Finals. So yep. that is going to be interesting out in the West, man.
And they got Steven Adams, so Zion can move around a little more like he wants to. Because, you know, they got Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe in the trades. Like, all of a sudden, they are sneakily deep. Like, okay. Really, really deep.
Okay, so OKC is going to be out the playoffs this year.
Oh, easily.
Personally, I think Utah is going to take a step back as well, as much as I love Donovan Mitchell.
He just signed for the max. Donovan Mitchell going to ball this year.
He's going to ball, but, I mean, you've got Golden State there. You've got New Orleans. You've got Phoenix. Somebody's got to take a step back.
Houston gone. Houston's out.
Ah, I forgot about Houston. Houston's gone, too, because I'm assuming they're going.
Yeah.
Who did Houston just sign?
Christian Wood they signed, but they're gonna
end up trading. I gotta tell you right now, I don't see Houston trading Harden or Westbrook. I see them just holding steady, and really? I think with Christian Wood they just become a better team. I would love to see them not trade either of them and just be like, whatever. I mean, we'll rebuild. It's Houston. People will come here. It's not Milwaukee. It's not Detroit. It's not Charlotte. Whatever, you know, where you don't get big free agents. You have to draft big. Houston will get another draft class where they can bring people down to Houston. It's a great place to be. Ray can attest to that. I see that management sitting there going, too bad. This is what you guys wanted. I don't give a shit. Fuck it. I got you under contract.
You say that, and you might be right. But if Daryl Morey call his old former understudy and say, I got Ben Simmons for you, you telling me you're not going to listen to that? If I'd rather have, honestly, at this stage of the game, I'd rather have John Wall coming off of not playing for 2 years than Russell Westbrook.
So you want,
like,
you want to
there
trade?
There is some real stuff out there.
Who do you want? You're going to trade Westbrook to Philly for Ben Simmons?
Westbrook to the way it's looking, and these are just rumors. The Westbrook for John Wall trade to Washington is a very real thing. Mm-hmm. And then I know Harden said he wants to go to the Nets, which can be done for a lot of smaller pieces. But if you make a trade around Ben Simmons and maybe Tobias Harris to make the numbers work, like, who says no? Neither team says no.
What if Philly says no, man? You can't get rid of both Ben and Tobias. You just can't. Because
for James Harden?
But you're operating under the assumption that you're going to get a healthy 6 to 8 year run from Joel Embiid, and you can't depend on that, man. Like, come on, man. Am I tripping?
With Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers, you tell me they're not going to want to start with James Harden and Joel Embiid?
Ben Simmons, or Doc Rivers, is going to be good for Ben Simmons. I've heard Ben say it out of his own mouth that he needs a Melon Farmer that's going to get in his ass like a wedgie and push him. It wasn't Brett Brown, but it might be Doc Rivers. Because you understand, it always ends poorly with Doc Rivers and his point guards. It ended poorly with Rondo. It ended poorly with Chris Paul. But that's because he'd be in their ass. And if that, Ben Simmons literally said that's what he needs. I think that's probably the best thing that could have possibly happened for Ben Simmons was them getting Doc Rivers. Now, if I'm Doc Rivers, I make two calls as soon as I get the job. The first call I make is to MB. It's like, hey, bro, maybe you should eat some more chicken breast and get on the treadmill a little bit. And the second call I make is to Ben Simmons, like, hey, bro, I'm going to ride your ass. I'm going to be in your ass like a hemorrhoid.
First of all, Ben Simmons shouldn't be a point guard. He should be a power forward. He should be paired with a point guard, period. Second of all, if I'm Houston, I'm trading Westbrook to New York Knicks for picks, and I'm trading And I'm trading Harden to the Nets for Kyrie Irving.
Well, and, this is the thing.
That's something the Nets would not do.
And a player.
That's the move. But that's the move if they did it, but the Nets wouldn't do that.
But this is the problem with Westbrook. Like, you know, because I talked about it last week. Like, it would make sense for the Cavs. It makes sense for the Knicks. But that's...
The Nets have so much talent. I'm sorry, I got to say this. The Nets have so much talent, so much supporting talent around Kevin Durant that they'd be better if they had Harden and Durant as opposed to Kyrie Irving and Durant, in my opinion. If they didn't have to give up much more than Kyrie Irving.
I agree. Can I make an analogy that will help you understand?
And then Houston's got their guy to run their team for the next, you know, 6 to 8 years in Kyrie Irving, and you bring in supportive players like Christian Wood.
You're right. But this is why the Nets won't do it. If I can make an analogy for you real quick. If you break a $20 bill at the store, right, and would you rather me give you five crisp $5 bills or some ones and a whole bunch of change back?
It's 2020. I used my debit card. Didn't even have to swipe it. Just tapped it.
You're an asshole for not listening and using my analogy. But the point is, while it's better for the team, if they do the Kyrie for Harden swap, they going with all that shit. The prospect of having Kyrie, Harden, and Durant together is too enticing for basketball people.
I don't think there's anybody under the sun, including Kevin Durant and James Harden, that want Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving all to be on the same team. I don't think they really want it deep down in parts and places they don't want to talk about.
And I still think that could work, but
I don't think it could work.
But the point I wanted to make, man, is regarding Westbrook. And this is the issue that – and it's a COVID problem. And it's the same problem that all of us have had in 2020 dealing with this COVID. If you're a mid-major team or a mid-level market-ass team, you would trade for Russell Westbrook in a heartbeat, because if for no other reason, it's going to draw fans – to the stands. I'm sure they're going to try. They're looking at what the NBA or the NFL has done. They've got, you know, the NFL and college football, they've put fans in the stands. You know what I mean? Not a lot, but some, depending on, you know, which market you're going into. So, you know, if I'm a mid-major team and I don't have any shit else going on for me, yeah, maybe I can draw some fans in the stands to come see Russell Westbrook, but we don't know what that's going to look like right now. And it appears like we're about to go back on lockdown. So that's what make it not and the contract. I didn't even talk about the contract, but the fact that he can't be box office, which is probably his best draw, depending on where he would go at this point in time. Does any of that make sense?
That's why he has to go to the Knicks.
Anything I say, it makes sense.
A little bit. That's why it has to go to the Knicks. That's why
just
Russell,
a little bit. Okay.
I was just fucking with you. I'm fucking with you. Russell Westbrook has to go to the Knicks. Like, it's important to the NBA. It's important to basketball fans. It's important to me. Can you imagine Russell Westbrook and Obi Toppin surrounded by three shooters just marching up and down Madison Square Garden against whoever came in? Fine. They're going to go 500. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be super exciting. It's going to be the best thing that happened to the New York Knicks and basketball in New York since 1999, strike-shortened season, and the Knicks made the finals.
You're right.
You just proved my point, though. It's like
I'm agreeing with you.
We were going to have if we would have a full capacity, yes, that makes
sense. No, but even without full capacity, you know how much ratings they're going to get in New York from the television deals?
Yes. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Even with them being the most horrible, disgustingly terrible franchise in basketball, they're still the number one. They're still the number one most valuable franchise in basketball. They don't need to be good.
Yeah, but they need to be recognized and they need to have publicity and they can make even more money, right? And that's who their owner, that's what their ownership is about. Russell Westbrook in New York makes that team more viable on a global landscape and they can do so much more. Him and Obi Toppin.
I agree.
Obi Toppin is fucking like a hybrid of if you put Vince Carter and Richard Jefferson together at the peaks of their career. It's amazing.
If we were going to have a full capacity studio audience at that arena at Madison Square, and I don't know, I don't think they're going to do that, at least not anytime soon.
3-year deal and for Westbrook. You can't get Westbrook for 3 years. You can't get Westbrook for 3 years. In the next 1.5 out of the next 3 years are going to have fans. At some point, this is going to go through. Influenza did not last throughout the entire early 1900s. And we are very much more, as much as it's hard to believe, we are much more advanced right now, as are the diseases, unfortunately. And, you know, unfortunately, the government has stayed about the same in 120 years. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Gotten worse. And I was never a government fan to begin with, but it's actually gotten worse. But shout out on this podcast.
Government was better back in the early 1900s. It wasn't so big.
Touche. I'll smoke a bag of that. I'll drink to that. But we got to give you your props as well, PC, because I feel like that Drew Holiday deal is big.
So it's a meal silly without Bucks. It's not the same without Bogdan.
But at the
it's
same
a great
time,
move, but it's the, not.
At the same time, okay, I get it. Bogdanovich really wanted him on the team. Was more excited about getting him than Drew Holiday. I mean, like, I appreciate Holiday. What are you laughing at, Ray?
What are you laughing at, Ray?
My boy just tripped over some boxes over here and tried to play it off like it was cool.
Maybe that's why he didn't make it into the NBA.
That shit was hilarious.
Well done. That's good.
I think Bobby Portis is a really big signing to shore up the front court when Giannis isn't in there. I think that's a guy that can score and rebound. You know, you still have the Lopez brothers. You still have Connaughton. You're going to have...
No, what Lopez is left, bro?
Yeah, Robin's gone.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Well, he's a free agent. He hasn't signed yet, but he's...
I thought he signed with somebody. No, I thought one of the Lopez signed with somebody.
He'll come back. There's no reason for him to leave and not play with his brother. But at the same time, you got DJ Augustine back there. You do have Korver coming back. You do have Sterling Brown. You know, the other thing is you look at the... Bryn Forbes from San Antonio, 40% three-point shooter, 6'3 guard, plays really good defense. That's another huge pickup. That's the guy who's probably going to be starting at the two. So him, Holiday, Middleton, Giannis, and of course, so Lopez did sign with Washington.
Yeah, I told you. One of them Lopez's was up out of there, man.
I knew it was too good to be true. Sideshow Bob always goes heel.
Bobby does.
Well, why you think the whole team beats his ass up in the pregame?
If he get all types of stone cold stunned.
Dog, he's gotten every finisher in the past 30 years.
We still have the all defensive first second teamer Brook Lopez in the 3-point Splash Mountain Man. So.
Stop saying that. That's like saying former All-Star Jamal McGlure. Like, no.
He was second.
Don't do that.
He was second team all defense last year, Brook Lopez.
I understand that on paper that's what happened.
Career, yes.
What?
Huh?
He's perfect for us. He plays on the outside on offense and the inside on defense. We have Giannis. He is one of the best matches for at a center that you could put together with Giannis.
First of all, I agree. Charles Tunney. The best thing y'all have done this whole offseason is bring in Drew Holiday.
I'm not...
Because that gives you another guy that not only can create his own shot, but can create for others. And the best thing that comes from that is that Chris Middleton gets to fall back as the third option, which means he's going to be a lot more effective. That being said, I feel like I've seen this movie before. This feels like when the Cavs signed Mo Williams back in the day. And
that's disrespectful.
And LeBron's like, yo, if you're going to play in Cleveland with me, Mo, hold on. No, you got to let me finish. Just wait. LeBron, when Mo Williams came to Cleveland, said, we ain't having that no more. You're going to have to shave your shoulders when you're out here on the floor with me.
That's funny. I'm not shitting on Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is exponentially better than Mo Williams. Drew Holiday is an all-star caliber point guard, and he just kind of gets lost in the sauce because there's so many talented lead guards out here in the league. But what I'm saying by that, just real quick, what I mean by that and why I think I'm having Groundhog's Day right now is you arguably have the best player in the league, and you're doing everything you can to try to make sure that he stays in this small market town, and you bring in a guy that you think is going to help, and you're going to watch this team every single night, and you're going to say, oh yeah, Drew does make a difference. And you're going to look at these other guys that are around him, and you're going to see them play well every now and again. And you'll be like, okay, yeah, I see them, and they're talented, and this and that. But ultimately, you're going to come up short, and he's going to leave. I've been here. I know that. I thought Sasha Pavlovich was going to be a fucking somebody. Like, I've been here before, man.
You're comparing the Hawks with the Bucks? You're crazy. The Cavs suck. They had LeBron James. That's it.
The teams are a lot more similar than you think.
That's what I'm saying. Although
the Bucks are exponentially more talented than, like, them 07, 08 Cavs were. Like, they rock about the same.
No, I'm talking about like the 09, like the teams where they got Mo and right before he left, and then they tried to get dusted off Shaq.
Not even close.
Boobie Gibson.
Yeah. Shoot it, Boobie, shoot it.
This team's way deeper than that and has been for a while. It just can't win in the playoffs for some reason.
That's what I thought too, sir. That's what I thought too.
So, okay, I got a question for y'all. If I could bring it back to a more pointed, like, macro basketball discussion.
No.
That's been our show, guys. We'll see y'all later.
I'm kidding, man. Please.
I think we all can agree that the Lakers have destroyed and killed free agency so far.
Yes.
Who do you think, if you take the Lakers out of the discussion, has had the best free agency so far? And I'm not counting just free agents. I'm counting all of offseason. The draft, trades, free agency, all of that. My pick is Atlanta. Well, Phoenix is my pick, but Atlanta, I think, has had a great offseason.
Because I really think Milwaukee had a great offseason. I would probably go Phoenix because I think that Chris Paul pick guarantees y'all a playoff spot.
And Jay Crowder.
I think that Boston's had a good free agent season as well, and it kind of goes to why you think Atlanta had a good free agent season. It's addition by subtraction, because I think getting Hayward out of there, I think
who did
that's
Atlanta lose? Better. Atlanta ain't lose nobody.
No, I'm talking about Boston.
Oh yeah, because got you.
Hayward got up out of there. I think that's addition by subtraction.
And they got Tristan Thompson, so they finally got a center for once.
And they got Tristan Thompson. I don't know how much Tristan got left, but he's a guy that can run.
All he need to do is get rebounds and put his hands up. That's all he got to do.
He can run and jump, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good thing for them.
But think about this. Atlanta signed Rajon Rondo. Atlanta still got Clint Capela. He ain't played with him yet since, you know, because of the trade last year. They signed another nice player, but they signed Bogdanovich, the guy that was initially traded to Milwaukee, to an offer sheet because he's restricted. So if Sacramento chooses to keep him, he goes back to Sacramento. If he doesn't, they get a top tier forward, and they were already deep to begin with. They just didn't, they weren't top heavy, but they were deep. Like, so I think Atlanta really has escalated themselves to one of the top teams in the East.
It depends on how you feel about Trae Young, because I like Trae Young. He's super excited.
That's a good point.
But I kind of see him as a good guy on a bad team type of guy, on the Sharif Abdul-Rahim side of the game. You know what I mean?
Well, and one thing everybody knows about Trae Young is that he accessorizes with a sloth.
Shout out to the Croods. Hey, but my boy pointed out something to me I didn't think about. Kobe was that man's mentor. And when Kobe died, something clicked in his brain. And he played altogether different the last half of the season. Maybe that was the push he needed. Because if we remember, the first 4 or 5 years of Steph Curry's career, Steph was just a shooter who almost got traded instead of Monta Ellis. So, maybe.
But that's more Mark Jackson as opposed to Steph
Curry.
Mark
Jackson is the reason Steph Curry and Draymond Green got their push.
Mark Jackson is the reason they know how to play defense. But his offensive sets were antiquated for this new NBA. You know, he was still trying to run them New York Knicks 1995 offensive sets.
Sure, and the real reason Steph Curry is balling right now is because he doesn't play like Nikes no more.
Mark Jackson and Rolando Blackman are the reason you can't fucking hand check anymore, okay? That's the real fucking reason.
Blackman. That's
no. Michael Jordan is the reason you can't hand check anymore because just like they changed.
They stopped hand checking because they did was hand check Jordan.
The Pistons,
stop that Mellon Farmer.
All right, wrap this up. We ain't going down this rabbit hole. Just wrap it up. We ain't going down this rabbit hole. Wrap it up.
And still, Lex, they're still more physical than the current Lions. So you took the Lakers out the scenario, man, but I think that the Lakers have won free agency. So, Tony, I'm going to ask you the same question Ray asked me, man. If we take the Lakers out, because I think the Lakers have wrapped up their second title. If you take the Lakers out, who has won free agency? I say Phoenix. What do you say?
I mean, they got Chris Paul, so it's a year that isn't really funded with a whole lot of gigantic free agents, and a lot of people are trying to save cap space for next year in case Giannis doesn't sign. And outside of Giannis, there's a whole bunch of other people that are going to be available for free agency next year. So I think some of the more important moves, those underrated, under-the-radar moves, are still going to happen in free agency, and it's going to be really interesting to see when that deadline comes along for people, especially Giannis, signing those max and supermax deals. So looking forward to that as we approach the December 22nd kickoff of the NBA season.
Okay, so before we get out of here, man, I'm going to ask you guys one more question. It's actually two, but it's one. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, John Wall. At the start of the season, where are those three gentlemen playing?
You want me to go first?
Please, go right ahead.
Where they're at now. Sorry, you can go second.
I actually think John Wall stays put. I think Westbrook is traded. And I think while I don't – the Knicks move always thought made sense for both parties. But Harden stays put at the beginning of the season.
So you're saying Westbrook is going to be in New York?
Westbrook's going to be gone. I don't know where, but he's definitely going to be gone. New York makes the most sense from an asset standpoint if you don't want John Wall.
I'm just saying that was literally the question. Where are those guys going to be playing at the start of the season?
I'm not a damn soothsayer, bro. What you expect me to say?
This is like Platt.
You want me to play 2K real quick and figure out where they go?
No, this is like Platt trying to remember this point spread.
Wall on these podcasts, airwaves, you can't shoot your shot, motherfucker.
New York. Go ahead, Tony.
No, thank I already you. Went. Go ahead. Finish the show, Platt, for fuck's sake. What, you got your blue solo cup? Blue solo cup. They're all on a red, like a so I got a blue solo night. Cup. Did they have blue last week?
It's actually green, Miller.
Ah, why did you say that? I don't want to know anything about last night. Now I know there's blue cups.
You don't know the cup, the damn street prop? They're on SmackDown.
I would have been surprised if it happened last night. They were red on Friday. Uh-oh, his friend must have fell over more boxes. Is he okay? Did he make it?
Eddie, is he okay? Tell us that he's okay.
He used to play in the NBA.
I was literally talking about my cup. I wasn't saying anything about the street preference. I was literally talking about how Ray my cup is green.
Ray did. All right, just close the show. Ray left us. That's fine. He's excited about Chris Paul, and he's depressed about Baltimore. He's not sure what direction he's going.
Fair enough. Again, ladies and gentlemen, man, if you're making the mac and cheese at your Thanksgiving, don't put eggs or any other bullshit in it. If it's not crab meat or lobster meat, don't do it. You all can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat, but more importantly, make sure you all go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt. We literally have something for everybody. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling, hashtag journalism. That doesn't just extend to wrestling, you know. You could talk about the dearth of journalism in the sports world, in the political world, in the political realm. Like, journalism is at an all-time low at this particular point in time. It is what it is. We've got G's Did the Job, which is the reason for the season, and many, many other cool-ass designs. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. If you appreciate the content we provide here at thechairshot.com day in and day out, the best way to make sure we keep providing that content is by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and picking up an official ChairShot t-shirt. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Mr. Tunney, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me all over the Chair Shot 4 days a week, basically. Let me pimp the entire Chair Shot radio network. To stay up to date with the Chair Shot on Twitter, follow at Chair Shot Media. Bandwagon Nerds, Three Man Weave, Pod is War, DWI Podcast, Greg DeMarco Show, hashtag Miranda Show. We got Steve Cook. We got Steven Mitchell. We got The Outsider's Edge. We got the Five Rounds podcast. Who else am I missing? We got Women Talk Wrestling podcast.
Yes.
There's just
Badlands. Outsiders.
I hit all those and many, many more. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Sports entertainment and sports entertainment. Head on over to thechairshot.com. There's something for everybody. All you have to do is use your head.
I feel like I've been banned from all Chair Shot podcasts that don't involve PC Tunney, but that's neither here nor there.
That's Mr. not true. Kyle that's told not true. Me he reached out to you.
That's not true. I did. It was just too late, and I wasn't able to make it, but that's not true. You're absolutely right. That's true.
But the rest of them, you're probably right.
Yeah, but shout out to Kyle. Yeah, shout out to Kyle. Shout out to Carl. They did reach out to me, man, try to get me on Outsider's Edge, which... If y'all tune in to Pot is War this week, I'm going to give my whole thoughts on that Cody Rhodes, that dude situation. I'm going to give all my thoughts. Damn and it, quite frankly, you probably aren't going to like what I have to say.
Fuck.
But
I have to tune in live.
You're probably not going to like what I got to say about that. But Mr. Cash, man, let the good folks know where they can find you, sir, and everything you got going on.
Yeah, at it's Ray Cash, R-A-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Of course, we, outside of ZCS, we're actually using the Twitter now, so that's a thing. That's new. And, yeah, man, shout out to Bandwagon Nerds, you know. They've brought me in, and I'm a young Padawan, but, they're trying to treat me well. So, yeah, you know, I'm in these Chair Shot streets.
Yeah, I clearly wasn't nerdy enough, and I'm throwing shade. That's
no,
me going.
Look, there's a quota, sir, and I got there first.
Bob,
what are you talking see, about? Wait, first. No, you man, did you? Were you not?
No, you're the new black. You're the new black, Mr. Cash. Okay, I was the original. You're the new black. It's like you stole my team. Now you stole my spot. God damn it!
I just want to tell you, Platt, that
white people.
Platt, I just want to tell you, not only was Ray on the show yesterday, but Rob was as well.
It was a little contentious.
God damn it! Y'all still about white people.
That's no white people for all of us, bro.
Clearly it's not. Y'all chose to steal mine. Go get your own. God damn it. Get your own.
I'm about to steal Tony from you, too.
It's working. It's coming. Next thing you know, DWI featuring Ray Cash. I'm like, what the fuck, G?
A winner is you with DPP and Ray Cash. I'm taking them all, bro.
Hey, man.
Pot is War with Andrew Belaz and Ray Cash. I'm taking everything.
Oh, Platt, you don't have to be on this week. It's fine.
Yeah,
Hey, man, seriously, hey, everybody under the sound of my voice, man, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, whether you're with your family or you're not with your family. Please try to make it as great as you can. R.I.P. Geraldine White, lovely woman, rest in power. Seriously, all jokes aside, thank you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Three Man Weave. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Keep that shit out the mac and cheese. For the commission, Mr. PC Tunney, for my brother Ray Cash. PC's my brother too, man, so I shouldn't say it like that. But I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. Thank you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Three Man Weave. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. We'll see you next week, God willing. Same Platt time, same Platt channel. Until then, shalom.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song. All right. This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat, so good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.